Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, where are you going? That's an open-ended question. Well, what does that mean, where are you going? Well, I mean, where's your soul going? Forward. What do you expect in this lifetime and actually beyond this lifetime? Where are you going next? What's up? What is your soul looking forward to? Is it ready for someday, hopefully very distant future, ready for another dimensional experience on another plane when this lifetime is over? And we want to know more about that to know how to make plans. Let's make plans. So to help us do that, is a wonderful guest who's been on the show before, and he has a wonderful book called God Took My Clothes. And so welcome back to Energy Stew, David Such.
Thank you so much, David. Sue, that's fine. Thank you so much, Peter, for inviting me back on the show. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And yeah, that's a wonderful topic, and I have heard so much about that from near-death experiences, about where we're going and soul planning and all that. And it's a difficult thing because part of the experience on planet Earth is amnesia. We forget our divine nature. We forget where we came from. We forget all the connections. And that's part of the experience down here. And when a person has a near-death experience, sometimes they get to heaven and they are told it's not your time. You must go back. And that's because they planned, you know, pre-soul planning with probably some elders and wise people and the souls that you work with in heaven, and you pick a life and pick a time and all that. And if your work's not done, they'll send you back. And that sounds like control, like you don't get a choice. Well, no, your higher self, you know, made that choice before you came here. Others are told your work is done. You can stay here in heaven if you wish. However, we have to send you back to do more work if that's what you want to do. And the person will always say no, because the afterlife is such an amazing place, love, perfection beyond description. I mean, everyone who spends just a split second in heaven, it's so good, they want to stay there forever. But then they're shown, the guides show them, or a spiritual entity shows them, this will be the benefit to humanity if you go back, or if you don't go back, you know, your son is never going to get over your death or something like that. And if you go back, there'll be these benefits. And some are even shown their purpose, like, you know, you're going to continue with this purpose. And if they decide, yes, I'm going back, often that purpose and the details is taken away. And the reason they're given is because if we knew everything that we were planning, it would make things too easy down here. So we've got an interesting balance kind of between where are we going and how much do we want to know. If you know too much, it ruins the challenge, and you have to be challenged to grow. You know, if you're a runner, you've got to challenge yourself and run faster to get better. And often that's not the case where we know what's going on down here. So we're kind of driving in the fog. We don't always see what's coming up, but we're all connected to divine intuition. People have various connections with that. And just like a muscle, the more you use it, the better it gets. And so for those who kind of want to have a better idea, you can get a glimpse of where you're going and learn to recognize the synchronicities that kind of give you little hints, right? And yeah, so we're always getting
right.
Hints. Yes, what feels right. So yeah, that's a good point. So there's several things, Peter, what you just mentioned. You know, when I hear something, and I was just talking with a client this morning who was looking for a job, and she's very intuitive, and she says, well, I walked in and I didn't like the place. I didn't like how I felt. Well, that's a hint, you know,
right.
And with another person, you know, I didn't like the way I felt. Or when you hear something, you know, from two different places, you know, that's a, like yesterday, I'm getting a little overwhelmed with questions that people are sending me via email. I can't even respond to the emails anymore. I have to do a little voice recording and then email a little voice clip because I can't type it all out. And I thought, you know, I should do a question and answer show on the near-death experiences group, you know, 120,000 members. And I just thought, no, I'm too busy. So I got the I got the spiritual vibe, you know, like this is something I'm supposed to do. And I ignored it because my brain went into logical mode. And I didn't listen to my intuition. I said, no, I'm not doing that. So what they will do, just like a mother, when the child doesn't listen, sweetie, I told you not to touch the hot stove. The child doesn't listen. They say it again louder, or they get somebody else to tell them not to do that. You know, hey, Bill, tell your son not to touch the right. So they'll reinforce it. So on a call with a client, she said at the end, out of the blue, you should do a live question and answer. That's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences. So when we see these little coincidences in life, it is our prodding to go in that direction, even if we don't understand why or right. what we're supposed to do. And then feelings are so important.
Serendipity and synchronicity at work.
Serendipity and synchronicity at work. And there are plenty of stories like that. I recall 9/11, a guy told his story of why he didn't go to work and survive that day, because he went to work the same day, every day, took the same route because it was the least traffic. And in one intersection, he decides to make a right and go on a different route today. I think I'll try this different route. Didn't know why. And he gets stuck in a traffic jam and he's angry. Well, he couldn't see what was coming. I mean, he was sent.
But his soul knew. His soul knew. And what's interesting, yeah. I wonder if we did research, maybe half the people working at building, their souls diverted them to get from getting to work to that day, and they missed being killed. So, but I want to ask you, from what you're talking about, I'm very interested in, since nothing is just a coincidence, why isn't it just a coincidence? Who's in charge? Who's running the show to make things happen the way they do? Obviously, our egos aren't capable of that. Our souls are. So let's just say maybe our souls are running the show. But you just talked before about our higher selves. So tell me, who's in charge?
Well, let's start off by talking about a common insult. That guy's not all here. You have no idea how true that is. You see, because the soul that comes down to planet Earth is not for the faint of heart. It's not for the newbie souls. Toughest planet to incarnate into in this galaxy. One of the toughest in the entire universe. You don't come down here unless you're an experienced advanced soul. And when you are that developed, your energy is huge. And if you were to try and take the entirety of the facet of God that you are, the little tiny facet, that little tiny facet compared to God is so big. If you were to put that energy into human body, it would burn up. So we do exactly what God does. Temporarily separates a piece of his energy. It becomes a soul that grows and develops. We separate a piece of our energy, incarnates into a human body. Most of us is still on the other side of the veil. And people have seen their higher selves. One guy, he was shown by this spiritual guide as bringing through heaven. I want you to meet somebody. And he sees this giant, huge, powerful being. And he says, that's God. And the guy laughs and says, no, God's a lot bigger than that. That's you. And he goes, whoa, that's me? That's you. So a lot of the things we do here are based on that connection to our higher selves and the desire of the higher self.
All right. So I have another question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I also met my higher self on the other side.
Oh, wow.
And also I thought, It was an old man with a white robe and white beard. And I said, this is the way supposedly God is supposed to look. And I didn't know it was my higher self. I just said, this man, I just love this man. And he's so full of love and wisdom. And, you know, it was just amazing how he showed up. And I looked at that and I all of a sudden inside of me, I kept saying, I vocalized it, actually. I am him and he is me and I am him and he is me. And I didn't know why I was saying that. And then later on, my guides who I was with told me that I just met that man was my higher self. So, and I was so grateful because that says there's a part of me that's like that I can aspire to that. Oh, good. But I want to ask you, when we get to the other side, and let's say, you know, here's Dave, you know, or Peter getting to the other side. How do we fit in with our higher selves?
Well, the higher self is there completely connected, working with a team. So every human being has, at a minimum, one or two guides at all time. And of course, if you're going through a difficult struggle or you're trying to, you know, do something good in the big project and you need a lot of help, you may have 5 or 10 or 20. Some people at end of life, if maybe an atheist who doesn't believe in God and is going to be shocked by this afterlife, they're going to have a lot of guides around. And these higher selves are always working in this team of others, and they're creating these synchronicities on Earth, little hints to keep us along the path. They don't want to interfere too much. And often, you know, when you talk to your guides, spiritual guides, some of the listeners on this program probably are very in tune with their guides. You know, I hope it doesn't bother you to know that often that guide is you. It's that higher self that you saw.
I hadn't heard that before. I love that. That's wonderful. But it's maybe me from a different incarnation.
And well, so, sure, the higher self is all the incarnations because, exactly. You know, here on Earth, it's you know, we're living in a temporal environment, but time is just an illusion. On the other side, there is no time. So the higher self is the sort of all the souls and all the wisdom of all those lifetimes all together. And, you know, we were talking before the show about the age of a person. If you were to add up all their lifetimes, and the average human's over 1 million years old. So that higher self has all that knowledge and all that wisdom of hundreds or maybe thousands of lifetimes. So of course, you know, the connection to our higher self is really critical in guiding us here on Earth. And even those who are completely unaware are constantly being guided by their higher selves.
Well, a lot of people are afraid when they get to the other side, they'll move on to another lifetime and not be there when their family comes over afterwards. And I've always said that, no, that we're going to be there. Because, for instance, Peter Roth is important right now to people I love and who love me. And I want to see all of them someday on the other side with me. And eventually they'll all get there because, you know, let's say in 100 years from now, there'll be nobody left here, likely, that who I know who will be interested in me. But let's say that Peter Roth is out there in 300 years from now. What does Peter Roth matter in 300 years from now? It's like, no, I matter according to who I love and who loves me and the purpose of this life and the work I do and you know, how I identify with it. But in 300 years from now, none of that matters. And so I always think that maybe, you know, at some point I just merge into my higher self and kind of am a very faint history that I can always kind of maybe re-inspire and plug in if need be at some point, like being a spirit guide or something like that. But that I don't know if it's me in particular that becomes a spirit guide to someone or it's my higher self that is doing that, that I'm just a part of.
Well, it might be both, a little of both. I've heard from near-death experiencers, one man, for instance, he wouldn't reveal who the congressman was, but he was the son of a congressman. And his grandfather had already died when he had his near-death experience. So he gets to heaven and his grandfather is talking with him. And he says, well, what do you do up here in heaven? What do you do for fun? And he says, well, one of the things we really enjoy is helping you guys down there. He says, well, what are you helping us? What do you mean? He says, well, I'll show you. I got to go talk to your dad right now. And so they go in spirit form to this meeting. And this guy is in charge of this little side meeting with other congressional members. And he's talking. And the grandfather in his spirit form leans down and says to his dad, you know, in his dad's ear, he says, son, you've got to get to that charity event. And this man sees his father just stop the meeting and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to continue this later. I completely forgot. I've got to get off to the airport. I got to get on a plane. I'm speaking at a charity event. You know, so they're always down
maybe
there.
He didn't see his father so much as he just felt the inspiration.
Right. So when our guides talk to us, if you're not intuitive or spiritual, you're going to hear it in the form of a thought or feeling in your head. You know, like, I really felt like I shouldn't do this. And then later, oh my gosh, thank God I didn't. I just had this feeling. Well, I mean, you'll hear atheists say that. So even atheists are hearing their spirit guides. They just don't know it.
Yeah. Well, that's the point, is that there's so much that we're connected with on the other side that we don't know. And so therefore we understand less about it. You know, if we understood everything that was happening to us via the other side, we would be very, very advanced.
Oh, yeah. I've often said that if every person on Earth had a near-death experience as they slept, you know, tonight, in the morning, there would be swarms of people in certain areas, because the people who are too old or sick or mentally ill or dysfunctional and unwilling or unable to work or provide for themselves, they would be swarmed, because with very little effort, you can bring hope and joy to those people. And because we're all connected, you know, when you bring hope or joy to just one soul, millions receive the vibration. You know, one person living in unconditional love is more powerful than millions of people living in fear. And so, yeah, that connection, the recognition of our karmic connection is so important. And, you know, our importance, I heard about this from heaven. You know, there's people say, oh, my life's meaningless. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not important. It's like, are you kidding? A generator of light and love on this planet. And let's talk about your importance in the universe, because I've been told this by near-death experiences, as well as trans channelers. They say that if one little facet of God, the one person that is Peter or whatever your name is, you know, for those listening, if that one tiny little facet of God, that one little gear in the machine of creation would have ceased to exist, the entire machine would break down and cease. Well, that can't happen, because one of the primary aspects of creation is existence. It's always existed. It always will. It can't be extinguished. A life
and
can't
consciousness
be extinguished. The soul
too.
Can't be extinguished. Consciousness right. Cannot be extinguished. Yes.
Right. And that, so it was wonderful. It's so great talking with you, because I, you know, you've spoken, you know, interviewed hundreds of people who have had near-death experiences, and there are so many different kinds of experience, but it all actually comes from the same place. It all, you know, there's nobody contradicting anybody so much as just having a different experience of them, of different, you know, NDE or and lessons that come from that. And some people have NDEs are much more advanced to begin with, or their souls are much higher frequency, and they can get more out of it than others. Because there are a lot of NDE people who, I believe, aren't as inspired by it as others are.
And, sure. Yeah, it affects every soul differently. And they're all, I mean, some people who listen to near-death experiences say, well, you know, I know they can't be true because they're all so different. Well, of course. I mean, education is very different. You know, somebody who's training to be a carpenter goes through a completely different system of education than somebody who's going to be a doctor. It's, you know, one's hands-on. I mean, they're completely different than like a philosopher. So every person has a different near-death experience according to what they need, according to what's right. Going to make them feel comfortable. Some people
exactly.
Arrive in a garden. They like nature. Others, you know, they love their grandmothers, so grandma's there to meet them.
Right. Yeah. It's very accommodating.
Oh, sure.
On the other side. And there are cities, there's landscaping, there's all kinds of familiar environments when we get there, because they want us to be happy and not feel estranged.
Oh, yes. And I've heard about that. So there's not really levels of heaven any more than there's levels of love. You know, how many different levels of love do you have for your child? You can't.
No, but I don't. But I believe when we get to the other side, there is an initial realm that we're brought to that is so comfortable and familiar, but that there are higher dimensions that we can go to that have other purposes that some of us are designed for.
Yeah, and that's a kind of where I was going. So I wanted to just give a little disclaimer about saying the first level, but there is a level that I've heard about. The higher levels, you know, no levels really, but yeah, the higher levels dimensions are so mysterious and wonderful. Even the first level you can't describe in human words, but The level I talk about in my book is that first level of heaven, and it's kind of laid out like Earth, just like you said. There's roads and buildings and houses and trees and waterfalls and mountains and lakes and rivers and beautiful gardens with flowers that sing and glow with their own light. And it's amazingly beautiful. Yeah. And that's kind of for those souls who need sort of an in-between to become accustomed to the light and the beauty of heaven, because, you know, you can't be taken straight to the center of God after being on a low vibrational plane like Earth. It can be a little too traumatic for some, and the soul has to be prepared for that. So yeah, an advanced soul will have a very good near-death experience where they merge with divine consciousness with God, whereas others are in that first level of heaven, which is beauty beyond words. You know, we have three primary colors, red, blue, and yellow. They form all the colors we see. There's over 80 primary colors in that first level of heaven. So it's beauty beyond description. You know, one guy said, you know, he was in a park or a garden, and the interviewer said, well, it was beautiful. You said it was beautiful, like Yosemite, which is really beautiful. One of the, you know, people come all over the world to see Yosemite. And he said, maybe 100 times more beautiful than Yosemite. So yeah, I mean, the first level is beyond words. But, and I've heard that there are trees that are taller than our giant redwoods and sequoias. You know, they make them look like little saplings. It's an incredible place.
Right. And it's all illusion.
Just yeah, it's like, all created. It's an environment yeah. created with consciousness. So what right. they do, what I've heard that they do is they set up something called quantum fields. And it's sort of an empty space, like for those of you who've seen The Matrix, you know, it's a setting where you then can create anything you want with thoughts and consciousness.
Right. And there, and so if there's a city out there, actually, it's been created by many souls on the other side who are artistically creating it for other people who arrive and want to be in an environment like that.
Yes. And I've even heard about a little school for new souls, and they bring them in and they say, okay, imagine a little white light and it's forming in your hand, and now form it into an apple, and an apple appears, and they say, okay, now you know how to create with your mind, go home and beautify your house. And people do things like they take live roses, and there's a process where you can, you know, put that into the wall, and the rose stays alive in the wall, and you can smell the rose, and, you know, it's yeah. beautiful things you can do with consciousness. Yeah. It's quite amazing.
Oh, I love that. And so we're living, you know, that just shows how third dimensional reality is so limited, and we come here for hard lessons and lessons of limitation, basically.
And yes. Yes.
And then when it's not limited, what does that mean? And that's what we're talking about on the other side. It's really unlimited. And even let's talk about intimacy on the other side.
Okay. You know?
So because we're not in physical bodies, but yet let's just say we have sexual orientation. How does that get fulfilled on the other side?
Sex is actually strictly prohibited in heaven, except for married couples. No, okay. So yeah, the big question.
I'm glad you're laughing about that.
The reason why I say that is I've heard about, you know, one of the questions people ask is, well, if I don't have a body, I can't have sex. And this is a big thing. It's like, oh no, like, no. There's nothing here on earth that there's not a better version of in heaven. You know, there's nothing good here that right. there's not a version that's just wow in heaven. And so right. I've heard the process of giving a hug. And what happens is when you hug another, your energies come together. And I've heard this described. It's very interesting that some people notice something interesting. They say two energies kind of the same. We come together. We should be double our individual energies? No, four times, which maybe explains the Christian principle of, you know, when two or more gather in my name, I'm there in your midst. And so their energies come together, and they are more together than they are additive of their pieces. You know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Right. I hear the bodies actually blend.
The bodies blend. So they merge, and you sort of become everything that person is, and know everything they know. And you're in touch with all their experiences, and right. they're in touch with all your experiences. It's pleasure beyond words. It right. makes it's sex ecstatic. Look like a peck on the cheek. It's yeah. very intimate. You know, when you do this hug, you are instantly in love, you know, not in a sexual way, but instantly in love with another person. And, you know, the human orgasm is actually a tiny, minuscule hint of the joy that we can feel in the presence of the light.
Right, and the ecstasy. So yeah, it's of it, right?
there's intimacy in heaven. That's and there's a connection. There's no arguments. There's no disagreements. The whole place is ruled by love, and because it's ruled by love, it's not this top-down control. We have a pyramid. You know, one guy's in charge, and he's giving orders to all the others. And yeah, there's a man in charge. You know, God's in charge, but it is a group effort. It's a family business, so to speak, and they're all working together towards the same goal.
That's wonderful. So we're getting near the end of the show, and I'd like you to let the audience know how they can find out more.
Well, sure. I am a certified spiritual counselor. So if a person's having a spiritual awakening or out-of-body experience or has an NDE and they have questions or it's causing problems, I do counseling on that kind of thing. And my website is godtookmyclothes.com. And there's information about my book there as well. And there's a link to this, the spiritual counseling. You can click and make an appointment. And you can also download the first two chapters of the book. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to pop $13 for a book, or I think it's $6 for the ebook. You know, everybody's tight with budgets these days. You can get a feel for it, decide if it's for you. And the entire version in Spanish is there as well. And then I've got some links at the bottom to some very good resources on near-death experiences for those who are interested, or maybe you've had one. There's a link to IANS, International Association Near-Death Experience Studies, and some other good YouTube channels that have some very good guests on with near-death experiences.
That's wonderful. It's always so much fun to talk with you. And there's more to talk about, because we had planned to talk about some things before we started the show that we never got to.
So, oh, well, we maybe have next time.
Show to do. Yeah. And this is so exciting, because, you know, you're a good talker.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I had lots of practice. You know, when I started, I remember being in my 20s, and I got to, I was in this big corporate world, and I had to speak in a group of five people, and I was terrified. And by the end of my career, I was talking to 200 or 300 people in business suits, you know, in these meetings and giving presentations. And I think that was all to prepare me for what I'm doing now. So,
yeah,
you know, great. I had a lot of help from above. I'd like to take credit, but I had a lot of help from above.
Of course. So, and pronounce your last name again, because
it's Such, S-U-I-C-H.
Okay, because I used to know David Such, but he had a T instead of an I in the name, so Such makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people pronounce it that way. A lot of people have trouble with my name, so no worries
right,
there.
That's why
it's a weird Hungarian name.
All right. So thanks so much, Dave, for being a guest on Energy Stew again. It's so wonderful to talk with you.
It was a pleasure being here, Peter. Thank you for having me on. And I look forward to our next time together.
Good. Me too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.